systems go. Prepare for countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
Obscene, dirty, filthy, immoral.
What are you people? On dope?
Well, today is a Monday, August 8th, 2011, and my name is Matt.
And I'm Danny.
And all the way from the other side of the motherfucking country,
4,000 three miles stops away.
Four plane transfers, two fat people, three babies.
MDS!
MDS!
MDS in the house!
MDS!
And no, I don't think it's 4,000 miles, but okay.
No. It's just under. It's like 3,800 some whatever. But yeah.
No, because Project 4987, that was the mileage added up, and that started way up in Alaska, so no.
Well, from fucking where I lived in Florida to like somewhere like Pennsylvania or New York or whatever, it was like a little under 2,000 miles.
Where did you live in Florida?
Sarasota.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Florida? I have a question, because you're from Florida and you live in Florida, and that's, if you listen to the show, that's not, you know, personal info, but when everyone says, you know, here's where I'm from, do they say Florida after? Like, ask me where I'm from.
Where are you from, Matt?
Kalispell, Montana.
Ask me where I'm from, Matt.
Hey, MDS, where are you from?
Tampa.
When you introduce yourself to somebody in another state.
Is that Michigan?
You always say, you know, like, I'm actually from Florida, so I'm not used to this shit or whatever.
Yeah.
And then if they pry a little harder, then you tell them where.
If it's a shithole town with under 100,000 people in it, sure.
If you're proud of where you grew up at, you might say Sarasota.
406, if your state has one zip code, put them up! If you can go to the park and not worry about stepping in needles and syringes, put them up!
If you can drive 10 miles and hit a different area code, put them up!
If you can wear a red bandana and blue shoes and not get shot or looked at weird, put them up!
For a short period.
That's right. We are the podcast for the small town. We had Sarah Palin, the Joe Plummer presidential candidate.
Uh-huh.
We're the podcast for Joe Plummer.
Okay.
People that live in little shithole towns, they get this. Because they're like, you know what? Our lives suck too.
So, this guy's life must suck so bad because he's back for the third time in a row.
Okay, either we have a theory. Just like Red Fox, when we went to Milwaukee, we had that theory about...
Yeah.
Okay, we have a theory with you.
Okay.
Either Montana is just like a great vacation spot, and this is just an added bonus, because, I mean, how many tourists come here and have all this and like the local hookup, you know? Not very many. They go
which
to
a tour guide would actually be kind of
yeah
good idea for you.
But don't sell yourselves short. You guys are great friends, and I love coming up here and seeing you guys.
That's true. And if
I'm
you're
just like, you know, you like, isn't there anything else in the summer in Tampa, Florida for you to be doing rather than coming up here to fucking bumfuck in the middle of Kalispell? Who the fuck's heard of Kalispell? To do what? Watch a podcast?
You
obviously
know.
Haven't been in Florida in a while, because if you're in Tampa in August, you want to get the fuck out of there.
Well, I don't live in Tampa and never have, because I know better.
If he was dying, he would go to Florida, because that's the last stop. River Styx.
No, but they don't even have medical marijuana yet over there. So why would you fuck
well,
that?
Well, it's like the shit.
So you
here.
Can drive slow because you fit in with everybody else. That's what
fucking Asians.
They have a bunch of nursing homes, retirement communities. What? No.
We had planned to gang up on you in this show, Danny. Don't turn around on me.
Hey, I'm saying
we have a whole
I'm supporting
hour.
Your state. Okay. You don't go there to die. You don't go there to die, dude. You go there to have fun.
Okay,
Florida's awesome.
It's this whole thing. When I'm out and about delivering, like, let's say up in Sea Falls, and there's beautiful mountains, glacier, and all that, and I take a picture, and it's like, well, whatever, I see this every day. People on the other side of the country or in urban jungles, they see that, and they're like, wow, that is that's amazing.
Now,
like, oh, my God.
I hate the whole stupid stereotype that, you know, people, when they get older, they want to go live in tropical paradise, Florida. That's not the deal. What it is all these fucking yuppie, you know, people that live up north their whole lives, and they're like, oh, I retired and I have all this money. I think Florida would be great. And they get there, and then they live there for 6 months, and then they start to die because they can't handle the heat and the humidity and fucking everything else that's going on, and then that's what it ends up looking like.
All right, well, real quick.
It's not.
Live
listeners.
Go there
for spring break and
406
awesome stuff.
204-4687. Skype the Jam Hole if you want to say hi to MDS or Danny or me or whatever, the cat.
Don't say
whatever.
Hi to me.
Chat to the cat in the chat. Fuck it.
Yeah. Is that Amham?
Is anyone following the cat on Twitter?
Does she have a Twitter?
The cat,
yeah,
and the purple dong are both on Twitter.
Is it Ferildo?
Which I think that Twitter kind of saved itself. That's the one saving grace that's going to keep it alive through the whole Google Plus, Facebook war.
What?
Is that fake names. I can't go on Google Plus and be like Dana's tampon. And have
well,
an
that's
account.
That's like a MySpace thing, okay? That's why
yeah.
you separate the teenagers from the adults. You
and
know?
I'm
You can make
torn.
A fake name.
I'm kind of torn.
Make a fake account.
On one hand, when people use their real names, they tend to not have that, you know, anything goes attitude. Like, anonymous internet people will say whatever.
But when it can be linked back to them personally, they're
right.
like
well, and
a
when,
touchy.
I think when you have your name out there and you have a whole, like I can go to your profile and click on posts and see everything you've written.
Well, okay.
People take that more seriously than, you know, a throwaway account that they can say, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck this.
Okay, well, keep this in mind. Like the way we live our lives on the show, pretty much. I mean, there's not a whole lot about us that hasn't been recorded or on air or posted somewhere on our fucking personal accounts to where it can be linked back to us personally. But there are a select few things we don't mention on the show.
Yeah.
And that is because we are real people.
But I mean, you can tell you, are we that much different than what the show is? Because some people, when they podcast, they do characters, very exaggerated characters.
If I were to make a fake account, I wouldn't mind talking about the things that I keep out of the show and
right.
the public.
Well, and that's the main argument, is what about whistleblowers, dissidents, if their real name gets out there, the government will come knock on their door and that shit.
Well,
but
some people are hiding.
We're not starting revolutions. We're talking about dumb shit that happens, you know, here and
we're
there.
We're just shameless.
And Danny's right that you guys are pretty much the same in real life as you are on the show, but on the other hand, The whole Google thing, the Google Plus thing, where they're really cracking
Boo.
Down and canceling all these accounts and strictly enforcing the real names only policy, it really does take a little bit of the fun out. They're kind of spoiling the party a little bit. And so I agree with you that Twitter is more fun because you can have multiple personalities, multiple
right.
names, and so many of us have more than one Twitter account.
And it seems like when...
But usually they link back to your personal email that's linked to some personal
account.
Not on
Twitter.
Right, but it seems like when Twitter first started, it had, you know, one kind of purpose to it. But now it's almost become a platform of its own for real-time news.
Just
right.
go...
How many accounts are on there that aren't like humans, that are right. auto-posters, that shit? It's a way to get information
right.
out there.
And that's part of the fun.
Right.
If you want to have the fake name and play the role of somebody else, your alter ego or whatever, fucking do it. Make a fake profile. Who's going to know the difference if it's a real person or not? I mean, is Google Plus really going to go and do crazy background checks to make sure that this links with
actually,
this? And, like,
you know on that Twitch show we listen to, Dr. Kiki, Science
I mean,
Hour?
You don't have to reveal so much personal info to where they can actually find you on fucking Google Maps and, like, is that you in the front yard? Or?
So Dr. Kiki, like, that's the name everyone knows her by.
Right.
Her Google Plus account got shut down because that wasn't her real name. In order to appeal it, you actually have to send them, like, legitimate identification.
What is the artist formerly known as Prince? Said it
that was a great joke. They're like, well, you can't use
logo?
You can't use fake names. What about symbols?
Yeah, can you have a symbol? Or is it
honestly, though, I think it's way bigger than that. I think they're doing that because they're looking towards the future. You notice all the shit.
Giant Rolodex of everyone, legitimately. Like,
well, what is the most important thing people do that their real names are attached to?
Jobs.
That you go to make
money.
That you put into the
bank.
Government.
The bank.
Government, because they take it from us.
And so they're pushing people. They're designing a certain kind of social network that's very different than Twitter. And it's clearly part of their intent okay, we want real names. We want this to be a Facebook-like thing. We want it to be a Facebook killer. And
you can still,
if you start putting in a whole bunch of fake stuff and multiple personalities, it's going to turn it into another MySpace cesspool.
Well, and that's why you do what Facebook did, and you can't have two accounts, personal accounts, under the same email address. I mean, Facebook, yeah, it's supposed to be all everyone's real name, but I can make another email address and then make another Facebook account.
Right, but I think Facebook's to the point now where it's you can get away with that. And I mean
you can be reported or whatever and they can look into it, but
well, what about there's a ton of weed activism happening on there, and a lot of those people grow pot and they don't want their real name, so they put that out there.
Well, you also, if Google Plus is gonna, you know, try and do this legitimately and, you know, one email address for one user. And
well, that's the thing. It's all linked to your Gmail account, your main.
But if you were to make another Gmail account or whatever that's not under your name, under a fake name or whatever, then they're gonna look in and look at the IP addresses, and you can't limit an account per IP address, can you? I mean, for social networking, like husband, wife,
Google
families, or
can do it anyway. Google can ask for a cell phone number and then go to that carrier and check. You know?
I know that. I'm pretty sure that I can't have Google Music because I'm under the same IP as you.
Oh, well, yeah, that so kind of stuff. I don't know.
I wonder if they're going to limit it to that to make sure to be more tight and legit, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you're certainly correct, Danny, that there are plenty of ways around it. You can go make multiple email addresses, but still, that's their policy, and that steers it toward a certain sort of environment, a certain sort of network.
Maturity.
Well, I think that's what they hit it so hard, and I think they did go a little overboard, but
yeah, they did.
It's easier to start with a certain, you know, set of rules and shit than to have it going for a while, 20 million users in a month, then to go and be like, you know, we're getting a lot of bullshit accounts. So yeah, from now on, like, it's easier to start it that way than to come in halfway through and be like, okay, we fucked up.
Well, that's why I think back in the day when MySpace was going on, every once in a while, they would clear out the inactive accounts. If it hasn't been active for this amount of time, you know, say a fucking year, I mean, they give them a long period of time.
Yeah, but that
was, if nothing's been uploaded, no posts, no nothing, it's been dead, they get rid of it. Your account is gone. And you get an email, you know, noticing you beforehand. You know, you have so long fucking time to do something before we get rid of this. And that's what they should do. That's how you fucking get rid of your spam accounts, dude.
They did that, though, two reasons. One, spam accounts. Mm-hmm. Two, pedophilia.
Yeah, if you want to troll fucking underage tale online with your fake account, stick to MySpace, dude. I think that's where it goes.
We talked about that a long time ago when they first did it, because someone did a study and they had percentages of how many, like, overall accounts, how many inactive, and how many were.
I even trolled tale, not underage tale, but I was underage and I trolled tale on MySpace under fake fucking names and stuff. I did it too, dude. Like, that's where kids go to fucking hit on other kids or pretend they're so-and-so's fucking friend and get back at so-and-such-and-such's boyfriend, whatever. They do that dumb, petty little kid shit.
MDS, what was the first social kind of online thing you remember? Was it BBS's or before that?
I never did the BBS thing.
Dialing into it, really?
Nope.
Huh. What was your first? IRC, maybe?
I was never really into that stuff. Pretty much just working. I was more... I did all my tech stuff at work. I worked for AT&T, for Bell Labs, for 20, 25 years, and most of the tech stuff I did was at work, and I didn't even have a PC until very late in the game, after everybody else had one.
My first social thing, network thing, was a chat thing, AOL Instant Messenger.
Yep.
That was
AOL
first
chat. You could go in there and be anybody at any time. And
I still have the account, too, by the way.
I remember reading this thing about, like, eating a girl out and then getting a popsicle and putting that in and getting a cold and then eating it. And so that would be like my go-to thing. I was like 14 years old and being like,
slap you in the fucking head. Like, that is freezing cold. What are you doing?
No, dude, like housewives and people, I don't know if they were dudes.
Feels really good when I put my junk in there.
They said they were chicks. The pictures look female, but you know.
No, but my whole point is that adults, people that have a maturity level of such that you would have conversation with, do not really think about using fake identities or going out and doing things like that because they're not sociopaths. Your sociopaths are going to be the ones pretending they're firemen and, you know, they're actually a housewife.
I think you're That's way them. Out of line there. I think there are plenty of reasons
it's
to...
It's boredom and curiosity, and it's the...
Sociopath? You have to be a sociopath to want a second identity?
We
is
all
that
have
what you're
a little
saying?
Bit of insanity
so
in us. Every person.
Every user on Second Life is nuts.
No.
Well, okay, that
that's
one I'll
where
give
that's,
you.
That's where that is acceptable. That is...
It's just
you know,
a
that's
thing.
What you do.
You're one way... For how many years? And here comes a tool that allows you to talk to someone.
When you try
to
do it in real life, like if you're going to fucking Second Life, you're going there because everyone else in there is pretending to be someone else and whatever, and it's all fun and pretend, right? Well, until that links to a Facebook account that has a different name than the fucking person who's doing it, and they're pretending to be someone else.
But if you were creating
that is
a
your
platform,
sociopath, dude.
If you were creating a platform that was going to be your one spot for everything, including banking, including health, including all that, would you would want it legit, right?
Right, and that's
I think
where
that's
your fucking psychos come into. Right. You,
I think that's
person.
What they're doing.
This guy across the room from me here, he's Bite Matt, he's Matt Lee, he's the Jam Hole. He's not a sociopath.
No, that's
right.
The thing. It
Mary
all leads
Prankster.
Back.
I mean,
it all leads back to him. Like you can find out who he is.
No,
because
no. Is
okay,
Bite Matt have a last
them
name?
All on this show, like you're
that's
somewhere.
Stuff, yeah.
You're going to be able to find out who he really is. He's not pretending to be a woman living in fucking Guadalajara or whatever. You know. Like it's.
I'm also not a Middle Eastern dissident trying to start a revolution.
You're not
you know?
Building a complete fucking backstory to be another person to fuck with somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
Right. I got that out of my system years ago.
See, and
years
that's ago. What I'm saying. Anyone who has a maturity level but of such is not going to fucking go that far unless they have ulterior motives.
No, you'll find
totally
grandma's doing it. It has nothing to do with maturity or craziness.
Well, yeah, because
or not.
The fucking grandmas are going to do it to play the young game and
okay.
whatever.
John Malkovich. Being John Malkovich.
Yep.
That movie.
Yep.
That was it, right? A chance to be somebody else.
Yeah.
It wasn't just crazy people getting in line. I granted, it's a movie. It wasn't just, you know, it was everybody wanted to do it. Because, you know.
It's curiosity, but when you're doing it to fucking. Really, really do it and set it up to where you're going to convince other people that you are not this person that you are, but you're this other person, then it's a little bit of insanity.
And see, I did that when I had Mind Orgy because I would write articles. So I wrote under two names. One name was Most Everything. And when I really went like way to one side of just being like, I'm almost embarrassed that this is coming from me, but I need to just get it out there, I would use a different name.
How many... You know. Every story we've done about people pretending they're someone else to, you know, fuck with, you know, like love relationship stuff. What have they been? They've been middle-aged housewives that are bored at a home, right? They're all in fucking Farmville doing that stupid shit and
well,
setting
just
up
majority,
something.
Though. That's just the most
It's
of...
fucking insanity, dude. You know why they're doing it? Because they have fucking five kids. Their husband's always at work, not paying attention to them. They're sitting at home. They don't have anything else to do, so they fucking... Live a fantasy life.
So
well,
just as easily they could go get, you know,
but
a disguise on and go
no,
to a different town.
No, but they can't they have all the kids and whatever. They have that crazy life. So online they live a different life.
I understand what you're saying, Danny, but you are dead ass wrong.
There's different reasons for it. And granted,
everyone has a touch.
There's a subset of the population that, sure, that's what they're doing it. But the majority of people, I don't think that's the reason.
Everyone has a touch. Of insanity in them that craves or has curiosity to be someone else or live a different life.
That's just in the family you grew up in.
No, I mean, like, have you never ever gotten into some random chat room and pretended you were a sexy 18-year-old girl and saw who you can fuck with?
Well, that was the whole point of doing that, though. That was the reason. The fake profile was created with a fake picture, and then I would go into the pool rooms and this and that and take screen caps.
To see what you could do.
Send them a picture, two real ones. The third one was a back door. They clicked it. Nothing happened, and now I'm in their computer. That's it.
And
I kept logs.
And when it goes that far, that's fine, but it's the other people who are a step up in their insanity.
Do you remember when you could send someone a link to pick.exe? And they would click it, no problem.
I don't even know what that is, but...
God, man.
What is that?
So easy. I remember the first time someone showed me that. They were like, look, you click this, and now I do this. And there was all these commands. Opening CD drives, closing, reboot, anything. Sub 7, I think, was one, and Deep Throat. Boom!
Okay. But yeah,
so those were the days.
I remember the first time I messed with it, I infected my damn self, and I was like, huh.
So I'm sorry, whale? But I am still going to stick with the really hardcore.
That's fine.
Well, that's fine.
People that really want to escape their lives go, this, you know.
You use Google products?
Yes, I do.
Did it seem like the last, like, 3-4 years, everything they released was like a piece of something greater, almost?
Absolutely.
Is this it? Is that the platform for
Plus?
All these pieces
You're
to put it
about
together?
Plus?
Yeah,
it's on the way. It's definitely going to be the platform. I think it's only 10% of the way there. This is so early in what they're going to do.
Right, of where it could go,
where it will go.
Right, right.
Google, my Gmail account just gave me an email saying. Jamhole Cat is now following you on Twitter.
Nice. You guys should go follow that.
So Kitty did set up a...
So is the cat a sociopath?
No, Amham is a sociopath.
Okay, so now Amham, I will fully agree that guy can be sociopathic. But now, is it a ploy? If we were at his house, is that how he would be?
No, he would be a regular person because we know who he is besides...
He wouldn't be meowing?
I imagine
he's the one who comes into our chat room as somebody else to fuck with me, saying he's an ex of yours and shit like that. He wants to stir up shit just to see what'll happen. But once we find out or have thoughts that it's him, then he admits it's him. You know, and he's like, "Haha, yeah, it was funny, whatever."
Amham is the things on Harry Potter that figure out what you hate the most, and then they do that over and over until you jump off a cliff.
I can't remember what that was called.
He does that sometimes. Cool. But that's cool. We need that. Keeps us on our toes, you know? That's just how it goes.
If you had to stare at one of those, what would it turn into?
Spider?
Fuck.
The Marshmallow Man. The Stay Puft fucking Marshmallow Man,
What are
dude.
You most scared Shit. Of? Like, what are you most scared of? Deathly afraid of?
I don't know.
A spider that was crawling on me last night.
I mean, other than the normal, like, a parasite getting into my dick hole and laying eggs and then my dick exploding with bugs, that whole thing. But, I mean, you know, everyone.
That pretty much happened to you a couple years ago, sans the bugs.
It would turn into a cockroach.
Let me tell you
probably.
What.
Probably. That, That will send me miles away.
I've been using Google shit for a while, and I've never seen something get released that a week later, still in field test beta, is incorporated into everything. Any Google thing
that's
I
what
use.
Google's done. It's interwoven itself
no.
into everything we use in our lives.
No, it's not, Matt. They just started. All of their stuff has gone nowhere. They have so much of their stuff has just gone down the rat hole.
Gmail, yeah. Good. Only a few
things
were
shitty. I
mean, there's
how many people that are on the up and up with whatever and have a fucking smartphone. How many of them don't use Gmail or don't use, you know, fucking anything like Google Maps? Like,
I don't know.
Google
honestly,
Star Maps, you know, if they're looking to go somewhere, they're going to go to fucking Google Maps and get directions and do that. I mean, it's interwoven into our lives so much now that it's just second nature for when something else comes out. And if it enhances or links to one of the things that we already use from them, it's just like, okay, yeah, that
Beer,
can help me.
Beer Bear says Buzz.
Yeah. Right.
Which I liked Buzz. It was nice having all of those feeds in my inbox, but the privacy shit was a bust. Orchid.
So, Danny, did you hop right on Buzz when it came out?
Nope. He tried to set me up one. I played with it for a day and then.
But I thought everybody hopped on everything Google did. Buzz came out. You didn't hop on it.
I have a few. There's certain people that like certain shit, take certain crap out of Google that when it comes out. I mean, there's not.
It's very personal, life dependent. Like because I'm a delivery driver, so maps, a lot of stuff is great.
He's
for
extremely
that.
Nerdy, so he's gonna try everything that comes out from Google. Usually, unless it looks completely retarded. Me, I'm not so much into all that unless it's gonna benefit me dramatically.
So that's a complete counter argument to what you just said.
No,
that everybody is integrated into Google.
No, I am integrated into Google because
you said everybody is.
Everybody is, unless they don't have a computer and don't.
If
you know,
if
well,
they have an iPhone
mean?
Instead of an Android, maybe they aren't.
No, because they're still going to go to Google Maps for directions and shit. Or
did I mention we got sponsors and this is a tech show now? Just throwing that
well,
out.
Well, I'm just saying that I'm not that much into tech shit, and Google is still in my life.
okay, when you search for something online, what do you, what's
the first?
You go to
Google for your search engine.
Is that because of me, or did you do that
no,
before
I
us?
No, I did that before us, dude. Okay. That was the only place I went to search for anything.
Why do you use Google?
Because it has the best results.
Does it, though?
Usually.
How do you know that?
Because I had Linux before and it sucked.
Had what?
Lycos and Lycos. The
I had Linux
thing.
Before
it.
And its search sucked.
No, Lycos, the black dog thing, fetch it or whatever. And I had there was another one at the time, like back so when I got the Packard Bell thing. I can't remember.
You
what
didn't
it was.
Use it because everyone that you knew no. was like, "Man, this is so great! I find everything I'm looking for. Look at this shit."
No,
fuck.
No, it just happened to fucking come up and take. It had the best fucking results, and it wasn't slow.
Can I be honest with you?
Huh?
Can you try not to be mad?
Probably not, but go ahead.
Sometimes I form opinions on things out loud for your benefit, and then just to kind of see
Lycos
what
was the
do.
Dog search engine thing. It says go fetch or whatever. It was a fucking dog. I remember... There was a commercial, and I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to use that because I have a fucking Packard Bell, and I'm an idiot, and I don't use computers, and I used it, and it sucked. It was Lycos, right? Lycos. Not Linux, Lycos.
Sure, sure.
Fetch, go fetch, like, yeah. It was a fucking, yeah, go fetch it, search engine.
Well, sweet, welcome to fucking Montana, 3 years in a row.
But is as crappy, as low on the fucking totem pole I am with tech stuff that I don't use it that much or care about it at all, I still go to Google Maps. I still use my Gmail.
If you wouldn't have been with me, what kind of phone? Would you still have gotten an Android? You would have got an iPhone, right?
No. No, I don't even think I would have gone that far and gotten a smartphone, really. I mean, just something I can get online with, yeah, but
can I come clean then?
Sure, whatever.
This whole time we've been together, I really don't like Google.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with Mike, actually, fully. I think they're too powerful, you know? Scroogle.
Yeah.
I use Scroogle. They scrape all that shit.
Okay, even before I got with you, I didn't like Apple because I've used a Mac before and they're ridiculously stupid. So I don't like
it. Zamham says, who's the hottie on mic 3?
One, two, three. Yeah, oh. Buddy.
MDS.
Is that Cam that
from Florida?
Fucked up?
Hey.
HD adds 20 pounds. VGA actually subtracts 10. So it's cool.
No,
you're not looking so hot yourself over there.
Hey, I know. I'm waiting for laundry to get done. Fuck off.
All right. Well, if you're new to the show, this isn't usually how it goes, but we have friends from out of state and all that. This is the Jam Hole third annual party live show week. Today was the first day of my paid vacay. Tuesday, Wednesday.
This is the third week of my not paid vacation.
Yeah. You'll have a check when we are done, right? Like
probably, okay. But not for 3 weeks. Unless I get paid $1 a day.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll split that with you.
Yeah, you're
pay
not
her 50 cents a day.
Just to
we'll
do
drop
the laundry.
We'll drop
yeah,
a
he's
contract.
He's already paid me more than that just to do his laundry.
Yeah, I just gave her $1 to do my laundry.
50 cents a day, you can nice. Ask her one thing per day. $1 a day, you can have her do two things in upwards.
What?
So.
Ask me something or do something. Make up your mind.
What is this, Form Spring?
Yeah, right. Ask a question, anything.
Wait, you give me $1 and I get to do something for you? I don't like where that's going. No. I'm sorry.
Just wait for the live audience show.
I'm not that cheap. Those cards you brought back, I'd be, no, unaffordable.
So, if you're listening, if you're local, if you're coming out of state, driving, I know Nicole and her friend are almost here, right? What was the last check-in on them?
Old Faithful.
I heard Old Faithful, and then they're gonna keep on going.
So they're pretty close.
Are we on Coke? Is there Coke? Did you get Coke?
Someone get me blow.
I got a rock star. I don't know.
I will give you a hug. Go get me blow.
So here's the dates: Tuesday, Wednesday, cabin camping, no electricity, no internet, no cell phones, no landline phones, no communication. You're putting your lives in our hands.
So hang on a second. MDS, how does that feel to go from fucking walking the strip in Vegas and having projected shit over your head to in the middle of nowhere, no electricity, no nothing?
I'll let you know. I'm only halfway there.
It's just like a fucking total landslide.
I'm only here on the outskirts of Kalispell right now.
It's kind of relaxing, though, isn't it, to go from that kind? Because these are totally different extremes, yeah. Vegas and here.
Like when I moved from Florida to here, like it was completely
not just weather, but pace.
I was worn out with Vegas after 3 or 4 days. The weather was killing me. It was 108.
Awesome.
Just could not.
Well, it's dry.
It was 90, 95 at midnight. It seemed like. Just a hot wind out of the west, like you'd opened up your oven.
In Tampa, at least you have a nice ocean breeze.
Now, this is the third year in a row you came up here.
Yeah.
Usually you just come straight here.
Yep.
So you took a little detour. What did you do while you were there? You weren't just like strip sightseeing, right?
Yeah, I hadn't been to Vegas in almost 30 years. And when we looked at the schedule for the show, one of the biggest hacker conventions in the entire world, I think, is DEF CON in Vegas. Is that right? Is it one of the biggest?
I'd say so.
I think they had about 15,000. Had about 15,000 people there this year, I heard. It was at the Rio, which has a huge convention center. And it was just black T-shirts and mohawks from one end of the casino to the other. It was impressive.
I had a friend of mine that was born and raised in Vegas, and I wonder, and he lived here for a while. I wonder how that is, like, going to a restaurant and getting served whatever from a chick in a fucking, you know, diamond-studded bikini top thing and feather shit sticking off of her butt, and then coming up here where the waitresses are, like, fucking 56 years old, like, I hate my life, and fuck you and your coffee. Like,
so
you know,
I used to live there when I was 20, and there's a lot of really
it's
neat
very upscale,
things that
lavish thing, and then coming here where it's like, fuck you, get your own shit.
Well, and usually when most people go there, they do like a set thing, like the strip, hotels, take in a couple shows, and
but
that's it.
What if
it.
You were raised there, like born and raised there?
Well, like, that's what I'm saying. Like when I lived there, I got to meet people that were like that was where they were born and raised.
What
they
were
they show
like?
You other things that you can do.
What were they like? Were they like totally metrosexual, like hip and up on the
no
up and up,
they were like a Mexican family but just a single mom with like 8 kids, no shit, and the oldest kids help take care of everyone.
Would they fit in the same if they lived here?
I guess if there was a low-cost housing 2-bedroom apartment that they all lived in together.
I just think it's like growing up the different lifestyles, it's just really weird. You could tell here if someone was raised in something like that, like you can just see it, the way they act, the way they present themselves.
Well, what's
and talk.
What's the majority of the working force there?
Prostitution.
Casinos,
right?
Sure.
Tourists, but not
tourism
like
in general.
Do.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Gambling.
So it's kind of like CSI Vegas when every time they have any kind of a suspect and they want their info, they look it up and they're like, oh, he has a dealer card or he has a game permit or this and that. Mm-hmm. Like they're all, you know, it's a lot of that kind of
it's just,
jobs.
I don't know. It's crazy from one end to the other.
But so
to answer your question, Danny, a little bit. Yes, it's a shock leaving Vegas and coming here or going out to the cabin. But it's a shock
down.
To go. Vegas is different than everywhere. Vegas is a unique thing, and you don't go there to live. Most people don't. You go there, you spend 3 days or a week there, and then you leave, and it feels good to get out of there. And it would be the same feeling if I just turned around and went back home or if I came here. It's just nice to get the heck back out of Vegas.
I wonder how it is for people that live there. Like,
well, that's
how do you get out of, like, if you move there and you're into the fast pace, crazy having fun in Vegas shit, how do you slow down and get on the normal pace?
But that's not how that's not how it is. Like when you live there, you're not going out to the strip every night, you're not going gambling all the time. Like you know, like when I worked there, I worked nights, went to the MCI building,
like if you're
did my shit,
born and raised there, that has to be so boring. They're like, let's go out to, you know, wherever.
Well, no,
and they're like, dude, fuck that, I'm gonna go out here and shoot cans in the desert.
Right.
You know, like, well, I wonder.
Vegas, though, is like the big city. Then there's a ton of suburbs. There's Henderson. There's a ton of different suburbs, like, each with their own little thing. But most of it is strip mall style shit.
Nobody I've talked to that was raised there tells me, like, oh, yeah, you should go there. It's so amazing and blah, blah, blah. They're like, yeah, that was where I'm from. Yeah, it's Vegas.
You get burnt out. You Vegas know? Is like the rich man's, you know, playground.
I don't know.
But I don't know. When I think prostitution, I think Amsterdam, not Vegas.
Well, prostitution is actually illegal in Vegas, in that county.
Right. You got to go somewhere else. But,
it.
I mean, there's you can do it. Escorts. I mean, you brought me back a fucking stack of playing cards.
Well, I think
we're going to play Ho Bingo at the live show. So
prostitution,
get your,
I Sadly enough, I do think of Florida.
BJ69.
Just because of the chick who was murdering people and shit. You know, the movie Monster, and she was actually put to death in Florida.
We're still teaching her the difference between real life and not.
You said Amsterdam when you think of prostitutes. I said Florida when I think
you
of prostitutes.
You should have seen her after Harry Potter, dude. All the whole way home. I want a magic wand. Can we stop at the forest?
Totally.
I want this.
Yeah.
I want a broom.
And I know a prostitute that OD'd in her bathroom in Florida, so. It's my experience.
See, one of my neighbors there was an escort, gave the best massages. And then another neighbor I had was a big black dude named Dollar with a white redhead girlfriend who was having kids, of course. He had dollar bill signs tattooed on him. I remember me and Dollar, he took me to the strip one night walking around, met a couple ladies, went back to their place to the hot tub, just chilling in the hot tub. I look over at Dollar's there, like, just fucking just sitting back, and this girl, like, they were...
Okay, this is the part where I get uninterested.
Anyway.
Mark, you go ahead and fill in.
We fucked some strippers
in their hot tub.
It's a depressing place.
It is, though, right?
Everything's a scam. Everything's a ripoff.
I bet you it's real depressing after, like, the third day when you see it's not... shiny and pretty.
Well, and
we have
a perspective of finding relationships here in this town where it's small and everyone's passed everyone else around.
Uh-huh.
There, totally different problems. Find a real person there, you know? Find someone that's just not dating you for money or for a green card or, you know, just different shit. But did you get your hair cut by the lingerie hose?
No, but at DEF CON they were doing mohawks. Hey, your hair ain't looking so great either, your Milwaukee Buzz.
Do you like that? That was a $8 quick cut.
You barely got your money's worth.
I know. It was a mess before, though.
Yeah. Total chomo Mexi stash along with the windblown Mexi hair.
So you gamble?
Yeah, I did. Played some blackjack. What's
the win-loss?
Lost about $100.
I've blown more
overall
than that
over the whole
in
5 days.
Less than an hour, and he only lost that much in 5 days.
Well, I lost $100 in an hour too, and then I made it back, and then I lost it again, and then I lost more, and then back and forth.
Well, speaking of gambling, I'm not a betting man, but I'm willing to wager that he was gambling for totally different reasons than when you gamble.
I just like winning shit, and it's exciting.
Oh, well, who doesn't like winning?
Well, and how many times is it great that you get off work and we're both completely broke with no food for the night, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to see if I have any money on this.
It's just amusing to me when I can find out the games that let me figure out how to win it. Like, they usually fucking, you know, take them out because they realize that they're losing money, but when you finally figure out a pattern or a fucking combination of shit that works for it and you win constantly...
But
that is awesome. When you can figure it out, when you can break it and figure it out.
That only works
awesome.
If there's a human dealer, though, right?
No.
You can't game the
computer. The old games that, the old Keno games that you can't press on the fucking screens and shit, there's certain ways you can make those things. There's a lot of games.
I think if you went into any casino tomorrow and ask anybody, they each have their own little formula, you know, like when it hits here three times, then do this, and then you'll hit Jack.
No, it's if you live in the area or if you're there for a long enough time and you know the Keno runners, and they could tell you if it's hit this much today or if it's done this today or this game did that today or this machine did this, and you walk in there and you get that information and you go to the one, you know, when you know this shit and you know how it hits.
Well, no,
and you go there, and then you can...
different, though.
That's
you're not gaming the machine or hacking it. What you're doing is you know the system
social
that
engineering.
They'll go so far without paying until they hit to pay out, and then you find the machine that no one's won at, and there you go.
That's why Keno runners aren't allowed to gamble at the places they work at, because they know the system and how it goes.
You know, most of the people that work at casinos are the most superstitious, illogical... ignorant people about gambling. Most of them know very little. And they're the first ones to tell you, oh, it's the person in front of you that hit 17 when they should have stood, and that's what ruined your hand.
No,
and of course that doesn't matter at
that
all.
That kicked it into ultra no payout.
Yeah, that fool ruined the whole table, and now the deck's cold, and now the table's
it's
cold.
Not like a
it's
soda. It's not like a soda machine that you can hit like a certain pattern and get it, you know, free.
Now when
sodas.
when you go to a casino, like you pick one and you like it, and you go there for a certain amount of time, and you have Keno runners that have been there for a while, they're there because they don't actually gamble, all right? They don't do it. The ones that do it and get those jobs, they get fired very quickly because they pay people like me to sit there and gamble for them and then split the jackpot with. That's not cool. So the people that don't gamble, the people that keep the job as the Keno runner, when I come in and say, hey, what happened with this machine or whatever, they're not going to put their own fucking things in that they're thinking about, like, oh, this one should hit sooner, whatever. They're going to tell me this one hit the 5 out of 5 for this much at this time. This one hit the 6 out of 6 at this time for this much.
But why?
And blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Why?
So?
Because
cares?
I'm in good, you know, you,
no,
you know the peer, the person.
I don't honestly,
they want your tip. They exactly. want you to hit. So they tell you. Whatever.
They don't get tipped when people lose.
But they're not going to tell you that. Oh, if you play these numbers on this, I know it'll pop and blah, blah, blah. They don't do that because they don't gamble. And those are the people you want the information from because they don't have an opinion about how to win.
You have an engineering sort of mind, right?
Yeah.
These machines inside of it, algorithms, right?
Yeah.
Variables.
Yep. Random number generators.
Pseudo random number or true?
The pseudo, of course.
Right. So there is a key.
Yeah, but the pattern is not something that you could ever figure out. And whatever these Keno runners are telling Danny, yeah, it may be true information, but it's absolutely useless information. It tells you nothing about what's going to happen the next time you pull the handle or anything else.
Well, I think this state's different, though. It's a state law thing that the machines have to pay out a certain percentage, right?
No. They're only you're only allowed to cash out with a maximum of $2,000?
Right, but I'm saying if they have a machine that's played for like a month straight and it never pays out, they have to fix it.
No,
you don't. I mean, that's just business. If everyone knows that machine never fucking wins, no one's going to fucking play it. So you're not going to make
only
money.
If it's broken, because you can't do it like that. You can't say it has to pay out once a month. It's like the whole deal with the scratch-off tickets, where they're doing the scratch-offs, and we all know Danny's really good at scratch-offs.
Right.
No, I mean,
but I'm really good at flipping coins.
Let me finish the point, is that if you truly generate scratch-off winners randomly. And you know scratch-offs come in those big wheels, the big rolls, and there's,
right.
what, 500 or 1,000 tickets on the wheel.
Per game in each.
So if it were truly random, and say on average there's 10 winning tickets in a roll, well, if it were truly random, some rolls would have 9 winners or 8 winners or 0 winners. But what they do is sometimes they mess with it because they don't want people to be upset, and so they rig it so that there's exactly 10 winners in a roll. So then what happens, you get the guys working, the clerks at the 7-Eleven, and they keep track of how many winners they've seen in the roll. And if it's one of these rolls that hasn't had any winners and they get down close to the bottom of the roll, then they know it's going to hit and they buy all the rest. And cool. So by trying to make people happy and rig the pseudo random number generator to have exactly 10 winners in every roll, you've now made it so that clerks can game the system.
Yeah, but the thing is it doesn't specify how big the win is. They're going to fucking buy up the rest of the roll for $100 and only however many tickets are left to win only pay out $2 each. You know what I'm saying? Like that. It doesn't... That's a shitty way to think about it because scratch-offs...
No, it's not a shitty way to think about it.
No.
That is exactly how you win.
It's math. Yeah.
It's the same as counting cards, which is what I was doing in Vegas playing blackjack.
Allegedly.
It's probability, and counting cards is not against the law. They can kick you out, but counting cards is not against the law.
Well, and see,
and so it's counting cards. It's the same thing. You're looking at the probability...
Right.
On whether there's going to be a payout, and that's when you go and buy the rest of the tickets.
Right.
And
see,
not a surefire thing.
That's why I have... What I say about, you know, asking the Keno runners, whatever, is because I know how they usually go. And it's the probability that, yes, it's at this amount. This jackpot is at this amount. And it usually hits within $5 of this amount. And blah, blah, blah. And I can do this to do that. And, you know, and sometimes it's wrong. It goes up a little higher. Sometimes it goes a little lower. But usually,
well, right,
you know, it's because I've gone there.
That's the variability.
And I've been there for years. And I know, you know, what it normally hits at, what it takes to get it to hit, you know, how much, whatever. You know, and that's because you staked it out and watched.
Easier
it,
to game
so.
Human than the electronic games, right? Unless you have some sort of thing that'll get in there.
No,
and
I think
trigger.
It's easier to totally stake out machines.
When I say game, I mean do something. You're actively interfering with the system to cause an output or an answer that you find.
Well,
good.
No, the key is not human or not. The key is in what in statistics you say you call independent. Is each thing that happens independent? And what we were talking about with the scratch-offs, if they didn't do the pseudo-random number generator right and they decided to put in exactly 10 winners in each roll, then what happens before does make a difference on what happens after. If you haven't seen any winners, then there's more probability. Same thing with blackjack. When you start seeing a lot of low cards, a lot of 2 through 6s, and you haven't seen a lot of aces and 10s, and then when you get down toward the end of the deck, it's more likely you're going to have a blackjack because there's more aces and 10s, relatively speaking, in what's left in the deck. In Keno, and in these slot machines, it's independent. What happened the pull before, what happened the ball drop before, has nothing to do with what happens this time.
Well,
it's independent, and that's why, in that case, what these runners are telling you is absolutely useless information.
Okay, so
Hold on.
If you could know all the variables, could you do it? Like an electronic one. If you knew what they... Because they're drawing on something, right? You get your random from something, and then you go by whatever. They pick this, so this goes in here and that. They're all variables. If you could know those... Or is it like uncertainty? You can know where it's at, but not how fast, or how fast, but not where it's at.
You can know the probability of how many fucking kings and aces someone's going to have in their hand, but you don't know that for sure because there's other people playing.
One,
you know,
obviously,
whatever.
Different games have.
It's probability.
Well, it's effectively random. You call it pseudo random number generator because it's based on a mathematical formula, but it's effectively random because there's so many bits. There's, say, 2 to the 256 different starting combinations.
Right.
So it's essentially a butterfly effect kind of thing. In theory, yes, you could, the weather in Japan could tell you what the weather is going to be here 3 years from now, but in practice, you can't do
that. So if you knew all that, and you would have to have a machine that came fresh from the factory before anyone else played it, because once that first token's inserted, it kicks that whole thing into a cycle and it goes.
Well, sure, but they can also use what, and any pseudo-random number generator has a seed, a starting number. And so they could take that seed from the time of day, from the temperature, from
the time the token was put in.
Right, to how many milliseconds between tokens, and so
how fast the person's hitting the thing to make it go again,
So that seed information means that, so no, they don't start with the same number at factory install every time. They reseed or they seed it with something like the time of day or something.
Right, because what I was getting at is if you had two machines exactly from the factory and one got started at 10 p.m. and one got started at 11, they would come to completely different outcomes because of that difference.
Right.
Now, what you were saying before about, you know, what had happened before, like if it's not winning at all, then at this whatever time, it's most likely going to pay out sooner. And you're saying that that's not with Keno, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Well, the machines I play at Goldust, okay, they have the 6 out of 6 jackpot and the 5 out of 5 jackpot, a 7 out of 7 and 8 out of 8. Everyone only plays the 5 and the 6. And the 6 pops at usually, it starts at 550, the 5 starts at 125. When the 5 gets to 130, 135, it will usually hit, unless it's a rare fluke occurrence and goes higher, which it never
does. Now, is that a particular machine or that whole game?
No, it's the two old school machines that you can't touch the screen. It's a set of two, and they've yanked them out of most casinos because they're easy to tell when they're going to pop. But it hits at a certain number, and usually once that one goes, as long as it's been played long enough and the 5 is up at least, or the 6 is up at least $50, then it's usually easier to hit that. Now, if I'm sitting there and I'm playing the 6 out of 6 after the 5's been hit and the 6 is up $50, so it should be ready to hit, and there's another lady pumping in fucking 20s next to me on the same, you know, playing the same shit, playing for the 6 out of 6, and she's not hitting at all, and she's just fucking losing it every time, and I'm, you know, winning a little bit. If she stays on that for like an hour or so, dude, I'm going to fucking switch over to her machine when she gets off.
Unless she hits
it. Because what you don't realize is you're clocking in with your info on a fucking computer system that says, okay, they won last week, they cashed out with however much money, and they've been playing on this one, and now you fucking, there's so much money being put into that one, and you switch the users, and you clock in on a different one. If you haven't won in like a week, and that one's ready to go, usually it fucking works. It's I don't know, it's weird.
But now you're introducing a whole new level of, you know, variables.
It's
because
just watching
you have
it. Like, when they're ready to bust, and they're not busting because someone is playing that's won, like, constantly.
Unless it is a very flawed machine, some ancient piece of crap that exists only in Kalispell because nobody's ripped it out yet.
So are you saying it keeps track of whoever's playing the game because of the player's cards? So it knows she hasn't won in a while. We're going to let her win.
No, it does, but not necessarily like that.
Because at that point, then you could pick any machine as long as it was your account logging in,
right? It has a credit system. I mean, it knows how much you've put in and how long you're sitting there. And that way you build up credit so you feel like you're getting free money from the casino.
He knows.
Just think about what you're saying. If there really is such a thing as a ready-to-bust machine, slot machine, poker machine, whatever these things are. If there is such a thing as ready to bust, then that machine is flawed, it is broken, and they ought to rip it out of there.
No, I mean,
if it is predictable, if it is ready to bust, then and I'm not saying it's impossible, maybe this machine, they
I'll
actually are ready
tomorrow
to bust.
Let's
and you go
know,
bust
I'll
your
show.
Nut and you get a load of quarters, well then great. But these things are by design independent. Every pull is independent. There's no such thing as ready to bust.
Well, yeah, and that's why you have the fluke 5 out of 5s that go over 200 instead of busting at 130, because they have to leave that, you know, probability shit in there to make people think like, oh, you can't predict it. But most of the time, you can. I'm going to say about 70% of the time, you can predict when these are going to hit. And like,
and it's people that think that make up casino's greatest customers, and that's why Matt doesn't let you go into the casino anymore.
It does make sense. If all of these never paid out, no one would play.
Like,
I mean, some people.
Check this out. If I won a 5 out of 5 twice in one day, and then I hit the 6 out of 6 the next day, and I'm coming in there because the 5 out of 5's back up again, and I think I'm going to win it, and whatever, I'm playing and having fun. It is more likely for somebody to walk in randomly off the street that does not have an account there that can clock in for it to bust to. All they have to do is put in a dollar and boom, it'll bust to them. Why? Because they don't have an account there. They're not logged in. It's a new person and that's what they do. If you've been there winning, logged in their fucking account thing, it's on record with their company that you've been winning for the last couple of days and you're playing now, it's not likely to let you win.
People that think like you do are casinos' greatest customers. People that think there's patterns.
I'm the worst
people
customer,
that think
dude.
There's such a thing as ready to bust. People that think it matters which machine you play or who you are.
How many times have I gone to a casino and come home and been like, oh, I lost everything I had?
They spread it, though, too. They don't just keep that to themselves. Like, they'll tell you all about, you know, which is kind of funny to me because if you had the secret to beat them.
But really,
I'm not telling you.
How often have I come home and been like, oh man, I fucking lost half my paycheck because I thought this was going to hit.
Right.
No, it's every time I fucking go to a casino, which is not very often anymore, and I only do it when I know
correlation,
there's
causation.
An 80% chance that I'm going to fucking win, that I come home and I'm like, hey, fucking don't worry about groceries. I just won fucking $200 or blah, blah, blah.
But the reasoning's wrong. It's not because anything you did. There's a lot of people that play machines here.
It's because I walked into the casino, checked out all the fucking jackpots and what they were at, and sat at the one that was good.
Do you have a better chance of getting a payout the more people that gamble or the less?
What game are we talking?
Well, if one person, if it's
just
a
any
machine,
video, we have here poker or keno in all the gas stations.
Yay.
I don't know that much about them, actually.
Okay. Because from what she's saying, if five people in the valley gambled, you wouldn't see that we do.
And
but
she's also saying it matters whether you stick your player's card in there or not, which would be blatantly illegal. There's
to
no
tie
way,
to it.
Right. There's no way that the casino commission or whatever your regulatory body is here in the state would allow different payouts or different odds based on whether or not you stuck your card in. There's no possible way that would be allowed.
Anna's. You know how he used to come over and gamble at Gold Dust all the time?
Yeah.
And he would win all the fucking time?
I don't think...
What it was is he would have a streak of like a fucking week, almost 2 weeks. They kicked him out of one of the casinos here because he was winning entirely too much and would not get on the fucking Players Club for a key to clock in. That was his thing there. But before that, at Gold Dust Casino, the ones I play at...
Yeah, but I'm sure they have...
He would have a week, 2 week stretch where he won constantly. And then he wouldn't for a month.
I'm sure they have triggers in place, though, to stop you from sharing those. Like, if they see...
It's in their fucking system that he's winning too much. Let's let other newer players win.
Would you agree that that would be blatantly illegal if for them to do that?
Well, I mean, how else are they going to make money? They can't, you know, they have to regulate it out and fucking work up your credits and shit to make you want to come back. You're losing, but you're building up money in the account, yada, yada. They do all sorts of shit so you're blind to it.
Well, yeah, the way they have it worked out is that you can once in a while go in there when you're broke and you'll have money on there.
But the reason he got kicked out of another casino is because he kept coming in and winning. He was taking home a fucking 6 out of 6 jackpot, which is like $600 every day. And if he didn't get it that day, he got a 5 out of 5 for like 150. Every day he was pulling out money.
Is that machine still there?
Yeah. And he refused to fucking sign up with a players club so they could clock him in on that machine when he played. He refused. And they finally kicked him out for it because they can't stop him from doing that. He would come in after it had been played all morning when he knew the jackpot would be up and fucking come in and play and not be a fucking Players Club member.
And he told you the secret. What was the secret?
Oh, I know the secret. It's okay.
So what was it?
It's just watching it. You have to watch it. You have to be going to that place for a long time. And
how can a human brain keep track of that many variables?
You don't.
You just
said it's a 70%
chance. It's the ready to bust theory.
What's he watching, though?
It's the ready to blow theory.
He's watching.
When it's ready. When it's ready. Right. Then it's ready.
You're scoping out certain machines, one. And, so you're when not it's looking ready, at the entire casino.
And when it's ready, then you know.
And you're looking at one or two jackpots and what they start at and what they are at. And then you watch how many people play throughout the day.
So you're casing the place.
Pretty much. You watch how many people play throughout the day, how much money is actually put into it. I mean, like pumping money into it, not if they put a 20 in and then they get up to 50 and keep playing that. How much actual physical money is put into it.
If you own one of these casinos, I want you to do this. Send us two machines, coin-op, old ones, whatever, and we'll set them up, and we'll do the experiments. We'll see it, and I'll show you.
Let's go buy them.
Yeah.
I'm serious, though.
We'll just drop you off at the casino tomorrow and pick you up when we come back from the cabin, and you should have a wad.
No, well, you got to give me money to play it, though. I don't have any money.
I personally think it's coincidence. It's correlation causation.
Well, yeah, that's why I say it's not 100% foolproof fucking theory either. It is a 70% chance with the right machine, right jackpot,
probability.
Right shit. But you have to find the right one first.
All I'm saying is that I believe that it is hard-coded into the probability engine that it has to hit a certain amount of times to be a legal machine. Because otherwise, they would put in one for every 5 that was a dead. Just to get that extra cash out for
them. No, they're
they
all...
They can't, though.
They have to pay out a certain amount.
Right, that's just one of the variables.
On a probabilistic basis, not any one machine.
Right.
Algorithm has to pay out a certain amount.
I know this is probably...
otherwise, you run into the scratch-off problem.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know this is probably illegal, too, but I guarantee you
allegedly?
That somebody hates me at a certain casino, and every time I clock in... He does not let me cash out with anything.
Dicks?
Like, for real.
Well,
and, yeah, the owner hates me, so let's put it that way.
So, went to Vegas, gambled, didn't lose your ass. That's good you made it up here.
Lost a little. I'm very rusty at card counting. I was a big card counter back in the day. I was on a card counting team, actually.
I can case but machines, all but of I that, can't count cards.
All of that is... kind of lost, and I had to sort of relearn how to do it, and I was getting better by the time I left, but it's still a tough way to make money. It's a very tough way to make money. Even if you know the odds are in your favor, which they can be if you're card counting.
Well, when you say relearn how to do it, not so much like the concepts of what you need to do, but getting your brain in the mode of, here, we have to remember this and tune out all the distractions and focus, you know, on... the numbers.
Yeah, there's really two things. You have to memorize a whole bunch of charts with numbers on them.
Right.
That tell you what to do for every particular situation.
And that's before you even go step foot into a place. This is like homework.
Ideally.
Right. Right. Like, hold on. What is that? Nine jack. Okay. Just about them there.
And the other thing you have to do is get good at actually counting the cards. Even with all the distractions that happen in a casino, the waitress asking what you want to drink, somebody else being a fool, or...
Well, and the more people at a table, that's what more... It goes up by a power of 10 each person extra, because it's more cards you have to...
Well, you actually do a running count, so the number of people there actually doesn't matter that much. Oh. Sometimes if you're playing one-on-one, it can be harder because it's going really fast. There's a bunch of people at the table and some of them don't know what they're doing, it really slows the game down.
You don't constantly have to be like hit or hold. See? You have a minute to wait while they're deciding.
Right, just keep an eye on their cards and count them as they come
up. That's one of the reasons I don't like playing live poker, is because I hate deciding to check or bet or fold like that fucking fast. But isn't it, I don't do this or count cards or play poker, but I figured it would be... maybe easier with more people playing at a table to kind of figure out what's going on. Because, I mean, with more cards you
burn
guess how much is in the deck better. Like, if you have 12 people playing Texas Hold'em and everyone's got two cards in their hand, if you have all that in your head, you should be able to know what the flop is and what the river is and what, you know...
You're saying with five people, after two draws, there's like 10 cards gone. But with just two people, there's, you know...
Right, so there should be, you know, however many aces in the deck. So there should be, you know, there's a chance of this person having whatever. And you know that there's a chance of this set of cards being in the deck to be your flop and your fold. You know,
the number of people sitting at the table really doesn't make that much difference.
Yeah,
no.
I thought maybe it did, but nope. I don't know.
When you go to like grocery stores or outlet stores, do you steal?
No.
Okay.
Have you ever, just to like try?
Well, I mean, you do what you gotta do. I'm just curious if that's because some people are like, you're stealing from the casinos and
what?
I don't know. I think it's a totally different thing because these are games that are designed specifically to separate you from your money. So anything you can do to better those chances probabilistically is good.
Right, and right. The games are beatable, and they're beatable by design. It is a game of skill in that there's right ways and wrong. There's a right thing and wrong thing to do for every situation.
Right.
And if you don't know what you're doing, blackjack can be you can lose your money faster at blackjack than anything.
Yeah,
that was one, actually.
Blackjack
that's,
is a bitch.
That was one of the first games I remember playing ever on my Apple IIc, Lemonade Stand, blackjack.
I mean, because it's got to be impossible to like count cards.
I had
blackjack.
No idea what split or double down meant, but I did it every now and then, and I won. I won a lot.
Danny, you said it's impossible to count cards at blackjack.
No, not impossible, but like if it's just you and the dealer, and like you're just he's dealing you your blackjack shit, like that's got to be fucking insanely, ridiculously hard.
No, and it's a little harder, like I said, because things can happen pretty quick. But you also do control the pace, and so you can slow it down if you want. You're the only guy playing.
Well, I mean, if you're dealt a fucking 6 and a 7 and blackjack.
Okay,
how much is that? That's what, 13?
Right.
Yeah, 13. And you have to fucking figure out if you need to... You know, if he's going to hit you or not and get another card, or if you're going to bust, if there's a chance, you know, like what?
Well, the good news is if you're playing by yourself, you can sit there and take 5 minutes to decide if you want.
Well, I mean, if
there's nobody staring at you.
My whole thing would be, is it obvious?
Obvious what? Like counting and trying to figure it
out? Yeah.
Well, I mean, your money's on the line too, so.
I'm curious if when.
It can be.
If I'm the dealer, when you're playing a straight hand, just regularly playing,
right.
And then when you're playing a hand and you're counting cards,
right.
Your mannerisms are going to be different. And granted, but a dealer isn't going to know you one from the other, but if you suddenly change. I would just be scared about
hopefully
that.
Hopefully,
you know?
Your mannerisms are not different.
Right.
Hopefully, you're smooth. And
not mouthing numbers while
you look like you're just having a good time. You're drinking beer. You're looking all over the place.
Blending
You're not looking like nerd propeller head with gears turning in
right.
Their
I'm
head.
Just curious.
You can't have the solving an equation look.
Right.
On,
but on the other hand, it actually is pretty easy to tell if somebody's counting cards if you count two. if you count along with them and they do what you would have done, then maybe they're counting cards. Well, and a lot of dealers count because they're bored. They don't count for the casino because casinos don't trust dealers at all.
They're counting because they're laughing in their head. Ha ha, he's right. Fucking upping his bet when dude over here has got him beat.
Right, and I've had dealers tell me I counted cards really well.
Well, what you were saying joke.
After a game, really? Like
right, when I was leaving, and the pit boss doesn't know anything. The phone never rang in the pit. The cameras, the eye in the sky never caught me, but the dealer knew.
It was just a nod from him to you.
Yeah,
like,
just a nod. Like, wow.
So
yeah, well done.
Well, and it's not his money. You're
right. Yeah. Right.
You're saying, you know, try not to look like you're solving a problem, but when you're playing live poker, you're trying to solve a problem the entire time. So if you're a newbie and you've never played, sometimes that can be mistaken as trying to cheat,
right?
As well,
but that's different.
Cards, you know?
That's, you know, glasses on, face totally blank.
I mean,
you could
practice at
whatever,
home and
gambling,
play poker and get your poker
whatever,
face
yeah.
on, do whatever mm-hmm. you got to do, and then look like a total moron, and they'll think you're counting cards.
But counting cards is not cheating. Counting cards is legal. You can do it. I don't feel bad about taking money from a casino. I doubt you feel bad about walking out of a casino when your little slot machine hits.
It's cheating when you know how it's going to happen.
and the team I was on, we walked away from casinos with $25,000 in a weekend.
Is this back in the day?
Back in the day, and we didn't feel bad about it at all.
Well,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So in your whole,
you should go to the live poker room here.
I suck at poker.
We could, but in your whole career of ever doing that, like, have you ever been questioned or?
Yeah, I got thrown out. I got thrown out of a casino before, yeah.
Like, you go to cash out and bring it up and they have the guys there? Or how'd that happen?
Actually, this was very subtle. Kind of not subtle, but the pit boss walked up to the dealer. The pit boss didn't say anything to me. Pit boss said to the dealer, that's the last hand he plays.
Hmm.
Yeah, they want to stop your winnings.
That was it.
And you kept everything and no...
Yeah, they can't take your money. And they...
Well, I can see them wanting to keep it mellow because there is a lot of people in those areas. And if you start, you know, that it could easily turn into a deadly stampede or, you know, whatever.
They can take your money if you're underage, fucking bastards. I was pretending I was 18 when I wasn't here playing Keno. And I had like $25 in the machine and they wanted my ID and I didn't have it. And I was like, fine, I'll just leave. And I cashed out, and she wouldn't cash my ticket out.
That may or may not be legal.
I don't know.
Right,
I always want to know
a...
that because she owes me some money.
So doing it with your brain, that's fine. Now, what if you had a device that was doing it?
That's totally illegal.
Generally illegal.
What's the difference?
That means you're dialing in the fucking card shuffler thing to get the sequence, and like you're fucking
That's where
with
they
shit.
Draw the line.
You're rigging with shit.
And back in the day, they had computers with switches under each toe, and you would click your toes, and then there would be a little vibrating thing in your wrist to signal back to you what to do.
You and your team, you'd have a guy at a different table, signals and all that
kind
of shit.
You can't do it naked.
And I think the pit bosses, they're only really focused on a couple things. It's the cameras that are watching everything, and whoever's on the screens tells them, then they come over.
Exactly.
But they're not, like, watching every single thing that's happening, you know?
Correct.
It's a lot of shit to keep track of. Right.
And it varies state to state. And, Danny, if you think somebody screwed you over in a casino here, if you think they've taken your money or they're barring you or not letting you do things, I'm sure there's a regulatory commission and you just file a complaint and they probably have an office in town.
I really do believe that this one casino is
then,
like that.
Then go make
a
complaint and go see if you can get your $25 back they took from you 7 years ago.
Yeah. But this place, I really honestly think that they've put under my name in the fucking computer system that I cannot win. I can't win. Like, this chick will not win.
Then don't go there anymore or file a complaint.
I haven't gone
other.
There in a while, but it's just like, I have never gone to a casino and never won. I have never gone to one and never won. Like,
what's interesting, an hour of the jam hole and we've thoroughly covered gambling.
Well,
so what would you
Vegas
really fucking go to Vegas for? For
DEF
real.
DEFCON.
Fucking DEFCON.
DEFCON and to see it. Because I changed a lot. I was in so many casinos that were not there last time I was there. 30 years ago, all these casinos weren't even there.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I remember going there as a kid and seeing the Excalibur being built and being like, what is that? It's a castle. Holy shit.
Fuck you both. I've never been there.
Now, are you a hacker?
Not really. I'm involved in some projects, but I'm not really from the hacker culture. I'm not a LAN party guy, or I'm not a video game guy.
You take apart stuff and electron that, like.
Well, yeah, I have an electrical engineering background, much more than a hacker background.
So you would have been to phone boxing, maybe more than like hacking. Did you do any of that?
No. I actually went and worked for the phone company instead.
Oh well, fuck. I mean, there's your.
But no, I
gave Captain Crunch the whistle.
The whole Captain Crunch era was a little before my time.
Oh, okay.
But I'm more into networking, anonymous networking, networking theory, algorithms, applications, anonymity, and that's a big part of DEF CON. Is latest trends in security, things like that. But I'm not a traditional hacker, no.
I see. So you're all about, when you're online, kind of leaving the smallest self-identifying footprint as possible kind of thing? Or
Yeah, absolutely. There's some projects out there that'll help you with that. And it's a very important and a growing area of interest around the world, as all these repressive regimes are cracking down on their citizens. Iran, Syria, Iraq, on and on and on.
That whole thing kind of destroys the whole argument that the Google guys were saying, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, what are you worried about? And it's like, well, you don't have to do anything wrong to still watch your back and have people after you, you know.
And the incredible thing is, it's not just places like Iran and Syria. It's here in the United States. It's Australia has a blacklist of websites that you can't go to. So many countries censor their citizens, and we need to fight that. And we need more tools to work around that. Work around state firewalls. Work around state censorship. And that's the kind
of
thing
end?
I'm working on.
Are you, let's say, like all the hacking stuff and releasing government info? Like, are you down with that stuff, or more for the individual?
It's more individual freedom, individual rights, privacy.
For like the normal users,
for normal users. No,
okay.
I'm not out to help anonymous get HB Gary.
Did you read any of that stuff?
I'm not really a crusader like that. No, I'm more in it's all about rights and privacy and First Amendment, or Bill of Rights, really, not First Amendment.
So what do you think about when people say that things that kids did and talked about online, put out online, when they're adults, that should all be erased? Like, the internet's permanent. Sharpie, magic marker, right? And you need to know that when you use it? Or, like, you know when you use a gun not to look here and pull the thing, right? So when we use the internet, we kind of know this could be permanent.
What's your proposal? I don't understand.
What?
You're proposing something? You're proposing an eraser, a net eraser?
No, I was just curious from the privacy standpoint. Like, do you think that things like that should be able to be changed? Or should we have that record to go back and say, well, look, he's running for president now, but when he was 16, this is what happened.
Well, the problem is with the internet and being a free country and everything, that it's still going to be there. Even if you go back and delete the source or whatever, it doesn't mean that somebody else might have gone to that site, visited it, and took the info and has it there. You know, it's never...
What if you live in China?
Like you said, the internet is permanent.
I don't think it can be changed, whether it should or shouldn't. I don't know.
If you live in China, though?
It's not really your data.
Then you're not listening to this show.
You're not?
No.
If you're in Beijing, you're not watching YouTube. And I mean, there's a lot of shit. So their internet's different from our internet. But
that they do put up there is permanent, too, though. Like, it's just like us. Just they don't get everything we get.
So
it is still permanent, though.
Instead of all the rules, then, maybe we should teach people the tool. Here's what it does. Here's how it propagates. Not saying it will, but there's a good chance if you write something
prepared
on there, it'll be forever.
There needs to be like a class in school to prepare you for being an online user. Like
sexting class?
Like, if
you can go to the Internet Archive, the Wayback Machine, and look at my very first website I built. You know, it's there. They have it cached. You can look at articles I wrote. Now, I'm
sure you can find the naked picture down the line, on 4chan still if you want.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's, they just need to know that anything you do, anything you say, any pictures you put up there, not thinking that, oh, you know, if I don't like these later, I can take them down. No, that's not the case. Someone else could have taken that information and put it up somewhere
else. That's the whole argument, though. Real names versus anonymizing stuff. You're helping tools that, you know, do that, but people, we've 4chan, right?
Well, then it's totally anonymous. Like fucking right. Music companies suing people for you know, playing it on fucking Ustream and shit, because then you're going to sue somebody for taking your photo and making a fake profile, you
right.
know, like
right.
which I'm sure fucking celebrities could do that, but like we can't afford to do that and stuff. So
I mean, we were going to start a business for that. If someone online pissed you off, you know, because they were anonymous, we'd get someone knock on their door, punch them in the face.
Well, I mean, like, you know, even
they don't do that using their real
somebody
name.
Somebody was promoting a hip hop show out in Big Fork, or wait, no, Whitefish or some shit, and they used a picture of a hot chick on their flyer. Like, if we had that kind of censorship or those kind of, you know, things, laws or whatever, rules, they could get in trouble for that. That chick, if she saw it on that flyer and didn't like it, could that, fucking be
that,
like, hey.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about, Danny. That is a trademark, a copyright.
I was just about
issue.
To help her. She put no. that picture up on Facebook.
Well, no, that's what I'm curious about.
Every picture you find on the internet has a certain license on it, whether it's a Creative Commons, whatever, or it's not allowed. That's,
right.
That's a licensing and a trademark issue. It has nothing to do with
and those,
privacy and
what you're talking
data
about, those,
retention.
That's not usually done by the person, though. That's done by the service you're using to put that picture
well,
up. Right?
What I
right.
was saying is that, you know, people that are going in to be online users, when they put their stuff up and they think that they can take it down when they don't want it there anymore, they're wrong, because someone else can take that image and use it for things like that, and there's nothing
right.
they can do about it.
Right. And I don't think there is anything you can do about it. And Matt, I don't think there's any way around it. I don't think you have a proposal to make to. And I don't think it would be wise to try to come up with a law to force companies to take down your stuff after 8 years or something.
Right, because I heard it discussed, and some other country was trying it, but they kind of they related it to when you're a kid. If you're under 18, you get in some trouble, you turn 18, it falls off your record. But now that you're 18, that record's permanent. But before that, it's not.
I think it's wildly unworkable, but...
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't know.
Which it's bullshit.
How can you control that?
Right.
It's impossible. So. But is that... So you... I'm very interested in that kind of stuff and the uses that it's getting now. Because back in the day, you know, this wasn't really a problem, but now... Kind of is. So, anyway, DEF CON...
to bring that around to the beginning,
mm-hmm.
What these tools give you is a way to be anonymous... A way to have multiple identities, Danny, without being a sociopath.
Right, right.
You just don't take it that one step further.
Right.
And then now you're not a sociopath.
You could say that tool, say your state is fucking with your medical marijuana laws, you do a podcast talking about that.
Right.
Do you want your real name attached to that? I mean, I did, because it wasn't a problem.
There's a lot
but
of people hiding now and taking
exactly,
shit down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if,
but you had to have been safe beforehand and not put up in fucking incriminating crap.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if there's anything about you that's not by the books that you put online, that's your own damn fault. So
that it is.
Play by the books. I don't know.
What did we do today?
I almost forgot. We went tubing on the something or other river.
The Swan?
The Fuck Swan. Yeah.
So, just a quick backstory. You met us first, me and Odie, on a cruise.
Right.
And then you have a thing, you only listen to shows that you've met the people.
More or less,
You still
yeah.
do that?
More or less.
Okay.
I cheat a couple times.
Right, sure. Just see what's out there.
Yeah,
but, you know,
yeah,
we've
yeah.
been doing that show for 50. We're very young, and met you and hung out, good times.
Yeah.
And 3 years later, this is your third time here.
Yeah.
I know the first couple times you came here, it's a long fucking flight, other side of the country. You come the furthest out of anyone. Good deals. Frequent flyer miles, good deals.
Yeah.
Again, this time, was it because it's the third one in a row and that's kind of a celebrating thing, or were you, would you have come regardless? Like, did that kind of push you to do it one more time?
That it was the third?
Yeah. That was our third annual, and if you made it this time, it would be 3 years. Like, did something bug you about not going to that because you came two in a row? Did you feel obligated?
No.
Like, to kind of finish this chapter?
No, and I don't think the number three has any special meaning for me.
Right.
No, I
we just see it in things. Bowling, three strikes in a row is, you know, it's special like that. But, yeah, podcasting, who gives a shit?
I haven't seen you guys in a year, and so I wanted to come up and see you. It's always a good time. And I think it's important to you guys, too. The show is important, and this week is important to you, and I wanted to come support you.
Cool, man. I was just kind of thinking about that. I was like, I hope we didn't be like, you know, this will be your third one. You better make it. I don't know. It was... We're glad you fucking made it.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. I trying to delve deeply into my motivations for coming is a little odd.
Just vacay, right? Vacay. Florida, Montana is totally different.
Let's not get too deep on the exact reasons I'm here.
He wants to rub it in my face gets to live in the Sunshine
State. I'm happy
to
be here. I'm happy to be here. I got plenty of reasons to be here, and I made it.
If you don't know, this guy right here, when we talk about Jamhole Corporate and our investors and all that, that's him.
Is he our the biggest investor or something? Is he the financial backing? Or
one and only investor. He's like, no. You know what we need? Another comedy podcast. I've searched, I've scoured the internet, and what I've found is crap. There's ads. They're not funny. What?
He's our Florida district jam hole operator.
That's true. If we were a regional company.
Down there.
How was that explosion, by the way? We heard about that. Fucking plane crash, this and that. But
what? Anyway.
So you got in, you did the DEF CON thing. You made me thoroughly fucking jealous. I had, at my fucking whim, I had to say the word, free tickets. Black Hat and DEF CON.
That was a lost opportunity.
No plane ticket.
DEF CON's $150. Black Hat is $2,500.
What?
Yes.
To get into the doors?
Yes.
Black Hat?
Black Hat.
Why?
It's a corporate event. It's for people somebody's paying them to be there.
That company owns it. That's... So... Hackers hack information should be free, but you have to pay $2,500 to come to this.
And guess what? Nothing in Vegas is free.
That's amazing. Well, I'm glad you made it. We picked you up yesterday, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this Wednesday since we're kind of at the end of the gambling hour. But this morning, we're like text messages. You were talking to my brother, tubing.
Yeah.
From the beginning to see, like, how it ended up, that a stretch, yeah.
As my brother-in-law likes to say, I love it when a plan comes together.
Right, yeah, without unbeknownst to me.
And he always says that with a chuckle.
Yeah, because check this out. This morning it started out with, fuck, we need tubes.
Yep.
Fuck, we need a ride here, this and that. Ended up with, 10 or 15 of us?
Yeah.
All tubes, rafts.
Yeah.
Mattresses, beers.
Beers, and a lot of girls.
I'm wearing my sunglasses because my eyes are still just burning from all of the just hot, hot, hot sun.
A lot of youngins.
And the girls, too, yeah. Got a little sun lotion there. Can you get my back?
Just to hear your brother talk about it this morning, it sounded really... hopelessly disorganized, and it was going to be the three of us sitting on one tube in a circle jerk.
Hey,
I expected.
Hope you had fun rubbing lotion on whoever or yourself, maybe, out there, because no one's going to rub the aloe lotion on you later tonight for that.
No,
sunburn.
He will. You got my back.
Yeah,
no problem, bro.
Go buy your own aloe lotion.
So you want to hear something funny?
Not really. I'm gonna go outside.
Okay. I was showing her pictures, and she saw a girl there that may have had a connection to another girl, and instantly you saw it. What was the face?
I thought that they were still
right,
maybe hanging out and shit.
It was the jealous cunt face.
I knew that she liked doing that stuff, and I could see that maybe.
Could you see it in her mind, just like churning like all of the possibilities?
It's not subtle
at all.
If it would have actually happened, it probably would have made for a better live show. But
if it would have happened,
yeah,
yeah, right.
Super awesome, crazy cat fight.
Like, okay, everyone that showed up, reach under your seat. You'll find a shovel. Now you're all going to come this way, and we're going to dig a hole,
right?
6 feet. There we go. But yeah, it turned out fucking awesome, dude. We had such a great time. I busted my ass. I'm bruised on a rock. Mm-hmm. Got covered in mud.
Cool.
Drank.
Did we ever get to the bottom of the story about the one guy peeing on the girl?
There was a lot of that.
Why are people peeing on each other?
No, don't look at me like you guys don't do that all the time.
You just say, hey, I'm helping you keep eczema at bay.
It was a piss fest from the head of the river to the tail end just because we were drinking so much and you're sitting in a tube. It's nice and easy. But what's this about the guy peeing on the girl? Who was it? Maybe
people.
We don't want to throw out some names. But
well, yeah, probably
what the heck?
Right?
I didn't even really understand how or why or when.
Like jellyfish? Because you get stung, you pee on it, right? And that goes away?
It was just very
odd. Did you see jellyfish?
Didn't see jellyfish.
Me neither.
I barely saw my dick. It was so cold.
Fuck.
I don't even know how it would be possible to pee on somebody.
No idea.
And everybody says the lakes up here are so warm in the summer, blah, blah, blah. Bull fucking shit.
Well, some of them are.
Yeah, when you swim in the ocean your whole life, it's not. It's fucking frigid.
So, not the glacial fed ones. But I think maybe was it a proxy?
And
I'm peeing in the water and you're in the water, so I peed on you.
Your rocks and your lakes are covered
you're in
slime.
The huh.
Is that it?
Is that the theme of the week? Are we all going to pee on each other all week?
Was it that there were different males? And they were like, whoa, this one's
competing
mine, this one's mine.
His penis is out. They're like,
because I don't know, I didn't pee on any girls. I peed on myself, but it wasn't my fault. Because
you knew you were taken. You're already. Your penis is spoken for, so.
You did do the whole apocalypto thing. You were pretty wild there.
That was they would have gotten naked, I was there.
You,
I suggested.
We stopped at this little corner, and it was a clay wall, and he covered himself in clay. Looked like the white Indians.
It's kind of a,
or in Cannibal Holocaust.
It's kind of a problem I have. When we went truck camping, there's pictures of me and Odie. I think it's a Jam Hole album art, but just painted like that.
The offering the
I
orgy
just have to.
Is a problem, or the
what,
swamp thing?
Who said orgy? Did you say
said
orgy?
I offered it if they got naked. I was there.
Naked to get naked and then cover ourselves in mud.
Yeah.
It's clay. Like, and it's soothing.
I was wondering which part was the problem.
Okay, so hold on. If I went to a spa and paid $200... to do that, like, that's cool. But if I just go out to this river and do it myself, not cool.
Well, if you're doing it because all the other chicks are hot and they're taking their clothes off and doing it.
I did it when it was just me and Odie and a couple of dudes.
I don't care, dude. But yeah, it's great. No.
We were throwing it at each other.
Like, if they got naked, I was there.
To do the mud thing.
Because you were harping on the whole chicks being there and wanting to make me jealous and aggravate me on the show thing.
Are you familiar with Gin Blossoms?
Rings a bell.
Okay, just curious.
Well, whatever.
But no, good time. Glad everyone got to make it. Glad it was safe and no one drowned. The river. First time to the swamp.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Beautiful. So, good time, good day, good way to start this fucking vacation.
The rafting we do on Thursday is not going to be any scarier than that, is it?
I think I misunderstood when I said, hey, let's do this in the summer and do summer things. What do you guys want to do? And you're like, whitewater rafting? I got us, like, a whitewater. Like, we have a class to be at to get our cert.
We had whitewater today.
A little bit.
Or yellow water.
It was yellow water.
I don't know.
But
I've
like,
never
is that
experienced
what you...
that before, so I didn't... I thought you were just going down a certain stretch, and I didn't figure a whole half day or a day trip or anything.
Well, when we say float the swan, like, we floated from past Ferndale to...
When I think whitewater rafting, I'm thinking of, like, the crazy fucking shows where these people are doing this shit, and they could die, and there's, like, crazy fucking, Like, they're going every which way. Like, I don't think you could take
with a raft
a whole
full
day
of beer
of that. Like, I was just thinking, when you told me a half day or a full day trip, I'm like, how could you fucking go through?
Oh, you're talking about Thursday.
I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, because you're like, I got you a real rafting adventure.
I thought you were talking about today. I was like, how do you do that with beer?
And I'm like, you know, people die whitewater rafting and shit, you know, going through rapids and stuff. I'm like, how can you have a full... I was thinking, like, maybe, like, 2-hour thing or...
It will be
like
interesting to
hours.
Compare and contrast.
But did I... do the right thing?
Yeah, yeah. You want to do the for real deal.
Yeah,
for
although I think you're sort of fixated on somehow this was my grand wish or my sole idea. I think we were...
Well, not you. It was a consensus.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, we threw out a list of things we might want to do last year.
Because the last two times we've done this, it's the end of September. You know, we did Hot Springs, but there's only so many times you can do that. Like, you know, what you want to do in the summer.
Yeah.
So
I think it's going to be great. I think it's a great idea.
Okay, because her idea of this was probably going to the water slide park and grabbing the tube they hand you.
I'm totally
going
cool with
down
water skiing,
river valley,
and kneeboarding and wakeboarding because I know how to do all that.
She should have come today. You would have liked it.
I wish I would have, but
I don't know.
I
think that would have been one more alpha female. It would have been too much.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You can't have more than one alpha female on a flotation device.
Well, there was
there were about a dozen too many titties there for her to be there too. But yeah, with a different mix of people, she would have liked it.
It was more relaxing for me because I didn't have to worry about like, oh, I'm just you know, scoping scenery and then
have
you there like, are you looking
morning.
At her? Are you looking at her?
That's what I was kind of figuring this morning. And I knew your brother was there and Chelsea was there. And Chelsea will tell me if anything goes on. And so will Mark, because you'll think it's funny to pick out on the show. And
dude,
whatever,
everyone there would have.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
just all
so
would have had
really
different
worried about
times.
It, unless
you know?
Mark tells me, hey, Matt disappeared in the woods for a half an hour and this chick went in after him and I don't know what happened.
Well, we did take her home. I mean,
then we have problems. But no, it was cool. It's fine. Whatever.
That's good. Jealousy is an ugly beast. Well, I think that's it. Is that it?
That's about You're a day.
Done?
It's been a big day.
Fucking A. I'm so beat. So, satisfactory?
Thumbs up. Two thumbs up.
All right. Let's rate. Trip. Overall trip?
Thumbs up.
River part?
Thumbs up.
Scenery?
Thumbs up.
Male to female ratio?
Pretty good.
Decent?
Compared to DEF CON?
And then out of the female ratio, 1 to 10, good looking, maybe not.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Pretty girls here, right?
They were...
crazy.
Nice. It was a nice crowd on the raft trip.
I've heard people from Texas and from California that live here now, and they're like, dude, this place has the hottest girls.
But they were also young and
I don't mean
16. I mean, but young compared to me.
Right.
And
right.
So all girls that age kind of look at least decent to me.
Borderline young for me a little.
Yeah.
But overall, definitely good time, especially I had nothing planned. We were going to podcast and that's it. So
I don't know whether to give credit to your brother or not. It turns out it may not have been much his doing at all, but. I'm not sure if he organized that thing or just ended up...
It was going to happen Sunday. That's when he first was like, let's do this. And we were like, you know, you're coming. We can't. We got airport. And he's like, well, I told him I had the week off. He's like, well, shit, I thought you had to work Monday. Let's do it then. And,
okay.
Yeah.
So it worked out great.
And then I think
great.
They all, yeah.
So
good shit, though.
Aces to Mark.
I like how we went from no ride in tubes to, like, fucking boom.
Yep.
Just got to have faith. So, all right. Well, good. We are... your Montana tour guides for the week. Ben, try and keep it fun, keep it interesting.
If that was the first 24 hours, I think it's going to be a good week.
Setting the standards a little high.
Yep. Nicole gets here tomorrow. That's
Nicole and her friend.
That's going to crank things up a notch
completely
when Nicole gets here. I'm looking forward to it.
Going to be a smaller show. The first time we had like 5 or 6 or 7 out-of-staters. Last year was 4 or 5. This year, just 3. Oh. It's very intimate. I'm happy. So, if you're local, here's what's going down. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we're going out to the cabin. We probably have 1, 2 if you have a tent, spots left. Email info@thejaml.com. Text me, call 406-848-1739. That's my cell if you want to go. Thursday, whitewater rafting. This isn't your water slide theme park shit. This is glacier. This is serious shit. People died out there like a month ago. So this is for real. Picture Clark Griswold, family vacation, rafting trip. This is it. So that'll be Thursday. I know we have 3 or 4 seats left for that. $45 a person. Pay when we get there. We have to be at Wild River Adventure by noon. That's in Glacier. Riverwild.com, that's our site. So check it out. If you want to go, you're all welcome. Can't wait. Friday, relaxing, recharging, sorting, and then Saturday. Dun, 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 for the 3rd year in a row. Still not that funny, but amusing nonetheless, considering what else is out there to listen to. The motherfucking jam hole. Gonna have a party. 3rd annual. Ep 525. Fuck yes. Sean will be there. I'll be there. MDS. Nicole. My brother will not, but Dana will. And she'll make up for it. I promise. Gonna do something a little different for you guys this time, so definitely come check it out. Tell your friends. I got posters if you want to help us pass them out and all that shit. Free show. Alcohol with ID, that will cost money. So that's Saturday, 10 o'clock. Anna's, check it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for having me on the show.
Dana, thank you.
It's been a blast.
It's been a slice. Still good? 3 years, 522 episodes?
Hell yeah.
They can't all be great, right? All right. Email info at thejamhole.com, thejamhole.com. That's our site. Follow the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Picassas. We'll be putting pictures up for the whole week. If you want to see the first two, thejamhole.com/250, thejamhole.com/404. Check it out and join us. Everyone's welcome. It's a great, great time. Plus, if you've never seen it, you got to experience it. It's not like anything you know. Podcast, what's that? Hey, what's a podcast? It's me in my living room with my laptop talking to myself. But then I save it and I put it up and you would listen to it. So I kind of talk to you. All right, we'll see you guys at the cabin. Peace.
You are listening to the Jam Hole. The Jam, the Jam, the Jam Hole.com.